Welcome to this Red Meat and Wool Growth Program podcast, brought to you by PIRZA.
I think farmers need to work out the things that are really hard on the farm, the things that they hate doing, the things that bug them, and then go and find the technology that fixes it.
This is a great perspective, but it can be hard to adhere to in a world filled with countless organisations selling shiny, new, amazing technology. That voice you heard was Penny Schulz, who, with her husband Jason, run a 1,000-hectare sheep and cattle property in the upper southeast. G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and the Schulz join me in the PIRZA studio to discuss how they're applying technology on their property to make it more efficient.
Our property is called Coolaroo, and we're based in a district called Field. It doesn't have a town, but I guess it's between the townships of Meningie and Kanaupin in the upper southeast, not very far from the iconic Coorong.
How long have you been in that part of the world?
My family moved here. They were dairy farmers in Murray Bridge, and they moved down here in the late 1960s. And the property that we now reside on or farm today, my dad bought in 1976 as a 17-year-old. I've been here my entire life, and obviously Penny moved for work and is still here today.
I'm still here, yeah. I came here as an agronomist and then married a local farmer, and I'm still here today.
So you've got an agronomy background, so that's a great match.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy the agronomy world so much. I ended up working in dairy extension. I just loved pastures and I loved cows, which is what brought me here. And I still work in the livestock space today off the farm too.
So what are you running on the property then?
We're a sheep and beef enterprise. We annually mate or join 800 brooding ewes, Merino brooding ewes, which we put to board Leicester rams. And then on the cattle side, we've currently got a Limousin stud, which we carve down 120 registered animals a year, as well as having some trade cattle as well, which I guess opportunistically with the feed curve, we trade some cattle to match the feed on hand and to make use of the pasture that's available.
Yeah, we trade a few sheep too, but our commercial cattle operation we run on a separate lease block so that we can hold a pretty high biosecurity status here on Coolaroo.
So you've got a bit going on, and you mentioned their biosecurity, and there's a range of technologies to help assist with that now. You've both got an interesting take on technology, and I just want to get your insights on it. Penny, first, what's your take on what tech needs to offer for you to adopt it?
I guess initially it needs to just make our life easier. Farming itself these days is so complex. It's certainly not a simple business to run a farm. So it needs to simplify things, not make them more complicated. And also, I guess, in much the same sense, it needs to improve some efficiencies as well. When we choose a new tech for our farm, it's got a specific job that's going to make things a bit simpler for us, which we've done with some of our record keeping.
What about you, Jason? You've got a slightly different angle, I understand.
I do. I guess I'm the hands-on practical personnel to the business. So, look, I think technology has a fantastic place, particularly in our business. And I guess when I look through the list of technologies we've adopted over the last few years, it's really about efficiencies and improving efficiencies. But what I look for is something that's really easy. If I have to muck around in the office or if it gets a bit complicated, I lose interest pretty quickly. So it's got to be easy. And also customer service or support service is essential because otherwise I've only got Penny here. And if I'm in the cattle yards or in the sheep yards wanting to use a piece of this technology and it doesn't work straight away, you know, it does make things a little bit slower.
So it ruins your day.
It ruins my day. So at the end of the day, support service and also simple technology that's easy to adapt and ultimately improve efficiencies.
They're all really great approaches to have in terms of technology. I understand you're in the process of moving to EID for your sheep flock and also looking to build new sheep yards. Is that about doing both of those things at once because you're going, well, we might as well go all the way in?
Yeah, Drew. Basically, we've got a original set of sheep yards that is doing a job but is very tired. And, well, speaking of efficiencies, it's probably not the most efficient use of time. Any operation in those sheep yards is a family affair. It can't be done singular. And by the end of it, sometimes it's questionable whether we're going to stay a family anymore. But like in the cattle yard, so our cattle yard facilities, I operate all on my own. Pretty much most of the things on farm, I operate on my own because Penny works off farm as well. And we've also got kids' commitments and lots of other things going on. So it needs to be able to be run by a sole operator, maybe with a couple of work dogs. Our sheep yards is one of the few things on our farm that requires multiple people, and there's a lot of inefficiencies. So we decided a new set of yards was needed, but then whilst we're doing that, let's make it the yards for the future rather than, you know, in a few years' time going, oh, I wish I had that, or I wish I allowed room to put that piece of technology in there.
And I guess on the EID tags front, the reason we don't currently have EID in our sheep enterprise is that we buy in replacements. So unless the person we buy them from is using that tech, we don't have it. But we see into the future that it'll be mainstream pretty soon. And we also want to be able to, I suppose, strategically use tags for our lambs as well, whether that's for the next buyer, whether it's collecting carcass data, whether it's collecting breeding data for our ewe lambs that we breed. We just see collecting more data for the next person might be valuable as well from a marketing perspective.
So you are moving into EID for what you breed on your property?
Yes. Yeah. And first and foremost, we already do things like we preg scan our ewes. Now, they are drafted at the point of preg scanning, whether they've got a twin, a single, or they're dry. Our scanner has the capabilities of connecting that to an individual EID. So I can envisage in the not too distant future that we'll be able to just put them back together and then several weeks later run them through our auto draft, and I'll be pushing up the back like a sheepdog and the actual drafter will do the drafting for me. Again, that's efficiencies, and it also allows us to run mobs as one mob for a longer period of time, rather than having sheep spread throughout the property and trying to keep them separate.
Yeah, I was reading, you're getting 90% survival rate with twins. I assume that starts with the preg scanning you're doing and then dividing the flock up accordingly. So this will just make things a lot more efficient.
Yeah, I think that figure might have been from the case study, Drew. We have achieved that with particular groups. Getting the lamb survival in twins is such a tricky game. We've found not only do mob sizes help a lot, so the smaller the mob size at lambing, the better your lamb survival, but we've found a huge paddock effect. So we've had, you know, a particular paddock where we have achieved 90% survival, and then another paddock will have much lower. So that's sort of, I suppose we're doing a little bit of our own research here at Coolaroo. Not an exact science, but we're trying to note the characteristics of each paddock and how that affects lamb survival.
Drew, just I guess to clarify that, the topography of the paddock has a big impact on where trees are placed, where there's hills in the paddock and where the water points are. The other thing that we found this year, we actually did divide up our ewes in age groups. And there was an age group effect as well on lamb survival, with the older ewes obviously needing a little bit more TLC than the younger ewes. So again, if they had an EID in them, we can tell their age via colour, via visual recognition. But if they had an EID, we could draft them out again using an auto draft type system pre-lambing, and then break down the mobs and hopefully put them in the right paddocks with the right topography to maximise those lamb survival rates.
You're in the process of setting up your yards for the future. Has that been a straightforward process in terms of trying to work out supplier and layout, or has this been a big thing to go through?
Yeah, look, it has been challenging. In the current world we live in, it's challenging just to get materials and also get things in a timely fashion. So that's one challenge. The other challenge was because, I guess, ag industries in a buzz time. The demand for infrastructure and livestock equipment has never been higher. So the service from some of the companies was a bit questionable, but yet we had some companies that spent a lot of time with us on designing the yard and making sure that it fits our enterprise, as well as our layout with our shearing shed and our laneways as well. It has been difficult, but I guess my take-home message to others sort of going down this path is to work with the companies that provide the service. Anyone can buy a set of sheep yards out of a catalogue and set them up, and I'm sure you could do it quite cheaply. But are they going to be yards that work really well for you and efficient for you and work in harmony with your laneways, shearing shed, your sheep handler, etc.?
So. Yeah, we also found other farmers were really helpful as well. There wasn't one farmer that we didn't approach that didn't say, yeah, hey, come and have a look at our yards. And, you know, we spend some time with them and they show us the strengths and weaknesses of their designs. I was actually really taken aback by how useful and how valuable their input was for the designs that we put together.
Fellow farmers were probably the best because they gave the positives about their new yards because we approached some people that have built yards in the last few years. But they also said, look, if I had my time again, I would do it this way. Or we had that piece of equipment and we didn't get along with it. So farmers are very good. They're black and white. And I guess it's fantastic if we can learn from other people's errors or mistakes. And no doubt we'll have some ourselves too that we'll pass on to the next people looking to build yards.
In terms of other technology you're using on the property, I understand you're using AgriWeb. How's that helping you?
Well, AgriWeb just takes the general pen and paper out of everyday farming, I guess. We took it on initially just for compliance. So, you know, around animal treatments, animal movements, you know, taking things out of scribbling in the little notebook in your pocket or saving the ends of vaccine boxes in your fridge to collect batch numbers to make sure that there's some decent record. But then from there, it's grown as a tool itself, and you can use it as much or as little as you want. AgriWeb does so much more than what we use it for. But yeah, we, for basic farm operations and keeping records is our main use. But another use that I hope to use it for is they're working with a remote pasture monitoring company. It's not quite commercial yet, but very, very close to help us manage and utilize our pastures a bit better. Just as another, I suppose, eye from the sky tool that we can use to take a bit of the gut feel or the guesswork out of what we're doing here.
With AgriWeb, from a farmer point of view, farmers like maps. I think the AgriWeb platform really makes things quite visible for farmers when they're in the paddock, seeing where their livestock are, etc. But like all technologies, they're only as good as what you put in. So I think that's probably one slight challenge, is you just have to be disciplined to make sure you put the information in. Otherwise, it's not going to put the information out.
And we've found AgriWeb good when Jason's not here, because for a fair bit of the time, it's a bit of a one-man band and it's Jason. So if he's not here and stuff needs to be done, we can use AgriWeb to fall back on what is where and what tasks need to be done. And that was really important earlier on this year. Just before New Year's Eve, Jason burnt his leg, unfortunately, quite badly in a firefighting incident. And we had to employ somebody to help us on farm here. And Jason was able to almost remotely manage the farm and inform our great worker, Tom, for a few months. And the value of AgriWeb certainly came into its own when that occurred. He's all good now. He has an awesome scar, but he's all good now.
Looks like I've been bitten by a shark.
Okay. You make a really good point there about that piece of technology freeing you up from the farm, being able to almost be remote control in a time of crisis. But you've also, I understand, put in water monitoring. That must give you the potential, as essentially single operator, to get off the farm as well, I assume. You're fortunate enough to be on mains water, but to still have everything monitored must bring a level of confidence if you're away.
For sure. Drew, the water monitoring, I guess we took on that piece of technology out of necessity. As you pointed out, we've got a fantastic endless water supply, being that the mains water. It's a really good quality water supply, but we pay for the privilege. Because we pay, we just want to make sure that the water is actually going to our stock and not into the ground with some sort of leak or so forth. So the water monitoring technology we've got was supplied by Alpha Group, and I get a daily text message in the morning. It's a nice little thing at breakfast time to tell me my daily usage for the day before, as well as the minimum usage, which I guess indicates whether you've got a leak. If all of a sudden it spikes, you know that there's something amiss. But these come every day. They even come when you're on holidays, which is not always good, but at least then you can alert someone to go and have a look or turn your water off or adhere to the problem.
And there are some alerts in the system too, so we can get messages during the day if something does go awry. The really good thing about it is that we know what's going on every day, whereas previously it might take weeks before you know there's a problem, at which point there's a big soggy mess somewhere on your farm or a little oasis that you didn't know you had. And by then, you know, you've lost thousands or tens of thousands of litres of water, which is really costly and just a waste as well in a time when water is such a precious asset.
The cool thing about the monitoring technology, it just clips into the back of your water meter. And I think within the first month, we did pick up a leak and it pretty much paid for itself. The technology is not expensive. Yeah, if you're saving water, it's good for the environment, but also good for the hip pocket. At the end of the day, technology's got to be a solution to a problem. And for us, if we go and actually look at every piece of technology we've employed, it's all about efficiencies. So whether it's the water, improving efficiencies of water use, AgriWeb, improving efficiencies of keeping records, or the yards, you know, improving efficiencies, flow of sheep through the yards, and obviously being able to do that with as little labour as possible, really does come back to efficiencies, I think, and it has to be a solution to a problem.
I think it's all about pain points, right? So there's lots of bright, shiny tech out there, and there's more and more as every day goes past. And I think farmers need to work out the things that are really hard on the farm, the things that they hate doing, the things that bug them, and then go and find the technology that fixes it, rather than people trying to sell them technology and then trying to find the fit on the farm. So I think it really needs to start with those things that really bug you on your farm and finding a solution to make life easier.
Well, Penny and Jason Schulz, it sounds like you've gone through several pain points and resolved them and brought a lot of great efficiencies onto your property. To find out more about what's being used on Coolaroo by the Schulzes, go to the red meat and wool section of the PIRZA website and head to the Focus Farm section. For now, though, thank you, Penny and Jason Schulz, for joining me in the PIRZA studio.
Thank you very much, Drew.
Thanks, Drew. It's been great.
The Red Meat and Wool Growth Program is an initiative of Primary Industries and Regions SA and supported by Meat and Livestock Australia, SA Sheep and Cattle Industry Funds and Sheep Connect SA.